If you look at verse 23, it says, when he sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And evening had come, and he was alone there. So he went up to the mountains by himself to pray. In other words, when he went with a purpose. He had a plan, and the plan was to spend time with the Father. Sometimes we just want to run from storm to storm to storm in our lives. We want to avoid them. And what we do is we end up working so much harder at trying to avoid the storm rather than just letting the Holy Spirit navigate us in the middle of the storm. You see, God wants to bring some defining moments into your life, but if you're going to have a defining moment in your life, you have to know that that's usually going to mean there's a storm that comes your way. For me, a defining moment, one of them, but one of the biggest ones, was Highway 61. You ever come back from Davenport on Highway 61 and you see the sign that says, Highway 30, Clinton, exit right here? That spot right there is my defining moment, because that's where I rededicated my life to Jesus once and for all, for good. You know what I mean? Like it stuck. It stuck. It took, you know, because I don't know about you. I got saved a couple, you know, handful of times. I always got saved whenever the Left Behind movies came out. You know what I'm talking about? You watch those movies and you're like, Jesus, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. You know, or when I got in trouble, when I got caught doing something I shouldn't have. Yeah, I got my life right with the Lord, but I was going from trauma to trauma to trauma, or drama to drama to drama, or you get what I'm saying? I needed a defining moment in my life. And I remember driving, I was going to Hamilton Technical School at that time, and I was supposed to be learning about technical stuff, but I really didn't learn as much as I probably needed to. And I remember telling the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I went to school for, you know, over a year and a half at this school. It didn't accomplish anything. And he said, oh, I would like to argue a little bit different. He said, I got you in the car for 45 minutes going one way, 45 minutes coming back every day. I got to talk to you. And I had to cultivate and work on your heart, because I was a little bit stubborn, folks. I don't know if you knew that, but just a little, okay? And I remember the Lord just kept working on my heart and working on my heart and working on my heart. I was called into ministry at the age of 14, but then at 16, girls and cars became very important to me, okay? So Jesus went out the window. He didn't come back in until the age of 23. And I remember the Lord said, I told the Lord, what do I do now? And he says, what's the last thing I told you to do? Well, you told me to go into ministry, but that ship has sailed. And I remember him looking at me saying, who told you that? Who said that? I said, well, I just figured, you know. He says, well, there you go figuring again, Jim. Let me speak something into that. See, that was a defining moment in my life, and I never forgot that. But you see, that defining moment came as a result of some storms I had to go through. If you're here today and you're saying, I want those defining moments to know what God is saying, it doesn't mean that you don't face storms. There is no such thing as the perfect life. There is no such thing as a life filled with no storms or trials or tribulations. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us just the opposite, right? Right? In this world, you will have tribulations, trials, but be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. So it's not about the avoidance of the storms. You know, sometimes Jesus will just leave you in the storm. And sometimes he leaves you in the storm because he knows there's potential in there that he sees that you don't. And it will come out. We just don't like going through the storm. But you know what that's going to require? It's going to require us, when we're in a storm, to get alone with our Father God. We don't really like that. Just the time we had here. We had about 20 to 30 seconds of silence in the middle of worship. But that wasn't really quiet. Michael was playing. Guitars were going. We had that atmosphere. What do you do when it's completely silent? Do you ever cultivate that time? Cut out that time so you can just be with Jesus. Because it's in those moments, in those storms. We don't want to do that in our society today. And here's why. We don't want to go be alone, period. We don't like to be alone. I looked at some statistics just for fun. This is coming from a group called Cigna that does surveys. And they were looking at loneliness within the last few years. They said 24% of Americans say their mental health is fair or poor right now. That's a huge number of people saying my mental health and my attitude's not doing very good. Americans reporting good mental health is down 5% from just 2 years ago. Younger generations, this is an interesting one I found. This is all just according to surveys. Younger generations are way more lonely than older generations. That blew my mind, but when you think about it, the older generations had to learn how to relate. They had to learn to do things without technology. They had to do. They didn't have all the news channels blasting in their face, right? And they had to make it happen. 8 out of 10 Gen Zers, which is the youngest generation right now, they have 78 out of 10 of them, that's 79%, report to be lonely. 7 out of 10 millennials, 71%, they report to be lonely versus the boomers who are at 50%. They're saying, we're doing fine. We're doing all right. Americans who feel they don't have a good work-life balance, 50% of them are saying they're lonely, and they will be more prone to calling in sick just simply because they feel lonely. And I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to address this. NPR is another place. NPR, they say more than 3 in 5 Americans are lonely, with more reporting that they simply feel left out. They feel left out. 13%, or there is a 13% rise in loneliness just within the last 2 years, since 2018. Loneliness, I thought this was interesting. 3 years ago, loneliness amongst women was higher than men. But right now, as of this last year, according to the survey, loneliness appears to be more common among men, 63% versus women, 58%, saying that they're lonely. And the last one I'll give you is this. Social media was tied to loneliness in this regard. 73% of people that heavily use social media report loneliness and depression to be high. Those who hardly use social media said that the loneliness and depression isn't as bad. The percentages was lower. So Gen Zers were the highest. Boomers were the lowest. And Harvard put one out and said that the new report suggests that 1 in 3 Americans face serious loneliness during the pandemic that we faced, including most of our young adults, which was 60% of them reporting that. Why am I throwing this all out at you? Like I wrote a paper on it or something. It's to show you and me that when you're facing a storm in life, we experience the loneliness, but we don't know what to do with it. And if we would learn to take whatever it is that we're going through in life and come to the Father and spend time with Him, we would be able to gain His perspective. Because none of us want to be alone. I don't think anyone here would enjoy that, you know, but I asked myself the question, well, where was Jesus when the storm was going? He was alone with the Father. The disciples were on the water. A storm comes. Do you think that Jesus didn't know they were in a storm? No, he knew that. He knew what they were going through. Well, do you think he didn't care then? No. I believe he did. He did care. Well, why does he appear to do this? They're in trouble. They need him, and he's up here alone with the Father. And he's exampling what's most important. Could it just simply be that Jesus saw more potential in the disciples than the disciples saw in the disciples? And he allowed the storm to happen to cultivate, cut away, weed out some things so they could find out who they are in the middle of the storm. When life throws curveballs your way, do you stand strong on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, or do you run and hide? Do you let the wind of the world blow you around and you're going to follow and do whatever it is they do? You know, a lot of people just will do that because they don't want to be forgotten. That was one of the statistics where people said, I don't want to be forgotten. And I know what it is. I can't let this go without pointing it out. I know what it's like to be forgotten, all right? When I was growing up, my parents forgot me in all of the stores I could ever think of. I'm talking about 1970s, you could probably get away with this. This time, nowadays, they'd be in trouble. But we go to the store. I've been forgotten in some of the best stores in this town that really aren't, I don't even know if they're all here anymore, but how many of you remember Kmart? Remember Kmart out there? Yeah, me and the lady that would always be like, the blue light special this week. We were on a first name basis because I'd walk up and she'd be like, did your parents leave again? Yeah. And they'd have to call them on the thing or, you know, I don't know what it was. I've got forgotten at Target when Target was here in town. I got forgotten at Eagles. Remember Eagles grocery store? They had 4 of them in town. I don't know who needs 4 Eagles grocery stores, but I probably got forgotten at each and every one of them. I remember one of them specifically because I was walking around looking for mom and dad. Mom and dad are nowhere to be found, and I'm like, they forgot me again. What am I going to do? And I saw the secretary from our school, and she's like, hey, Jimmy. I'm like, hey, Barb. She goes, what are you doing? I said, well, can you give me a ride home? And she goes, why do you need a ride home? I said, well, my parents forgot me. And I'm sure she was looking at me like, your parents forgot you at the store? I'm like, oh, it happens all the time. It's no problem. You know, eventually they're going to remember or come back or something. I thoroughly believe I have some other brothers and sisters that are out at the stores still waiting to come home. I'm here to just tell you, if you're watching on TV today, come home. Come home. It's safe, all right? I know what it feels like to be left there. Nobody wants to be forgotten. Nobody wants to be forgotten. We feel at times that God, though, forgets us. I know it's not true. And you know it's not true. But it feels like, and that's where it's very dangerous. Anytime you try to address anything in your life with the phrase, it feels like, be very careful, okay? I'm not saying it's not true. I'm not saying that you don't really feel that way. But I'm saying that we do not strengthen or build our foundation based on feelings. Base it on faith in God. It's all about faith in God. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Remember that song? Okay, it's a good song, but it's not a reality, okay? It's not about feelings. It's about our faith in Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus questioned them later, he said, oh, you of little faith, not you of little feelings, or, you know, you get hurt so easily, you know. He wasn't saying that. He's saying, this is about faith. I know there was a storm. You know there was a storm, but I know something you don't know. He said, I'm a storm walker. I can walk into the middle of that and speak one word. When a problem seems bigger than solutions, you'll find that at times Jesus will leave you in the storm, not because he doesn't love us, not because he doesn't care, but because we have the potential inside of us and we must learn to become better. And we will, if we will remain in that storm, if we will lean into him. So don't stop trying. If you're in a storm right now, stop trying to escape it. Stop trying to explain it. Stop trying to exit it. He says, endure it. And you will find that I will cultivate something real within your heart and your life. Number two, write this down. Jesus also comes to them in the storm. He leaves them in the storm. He also comes to them in the storm. It says in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. Now the fourth watch would be 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So if you're a disciple, a fisherman, who's in a storm that's scaring you, and it's 3 in the morning, and you see somebody walking on the water, you would start to question yourself, wouldn't you? Man, I need to get some more sleep, or, you know, what was in the fish we ate last night? I don't know. You know, you start to question things, but here Jesus comes and meets them right where they're at. They're in the middle of a storm. They don't know where Jesus was at, but then all of a sudden, boom, there he is. He's walking on the water. You see, our God is a God who can walk through storms and not be shaken up. I don't know about you, but when a storm comes into my life, my first thought is, how can I get out of this? That's my go-to. And Jesus had to teach me over the years that when I go through a difficult situation, a trial, whatever it is, though I might still have that thing trigger a little bit, like, how can I get out of this? I've learned to say, Jesus, what's going on? And what do? I don't move until Jesus tells me to move. Because too many times I've tried to help Jesus out. You ever try to help Jesus out? How'd that work for you? Didn't really work for me. He wanted to know if I would remain. He looks at them and speaks to them in the middle of their storm and tells them what's the most important. Think of it this way. Let's say that you plan all day long to just hang with Jesus, right? I mean, Jesus is a miracle worker. Amen? He can do anything he wants. If he wanted to, he could take a rock and turn it into a Whopper. He could take a tree branch and turn it into a Dairy Queen Blizzard if he wanted to. You know, he could do whatever. They said, he's our provider. He's the one. I mean, as long as we hang with Jesus, and then a storm shows up and they start to question everything about themselves and forget about their Savior. And he says to them, why do you worry? See, our God is a good God. Amen? Amen? He's a great God. And we know that he's got this. But Jesus put them in a boat and he said, I'm going to meet you on the other side. And they get into the boat. Remember, these are fishermen. How many of you guys have ever watched the TV show Deadliest Catch? Have you ever seen that show? Okay. It's just a fishing show. But when we used to watch it, but we'd watch this show. They go out and they do all the crab fishing and all that. These are hardcore fishermen. Okay? hardcore fishermen. Waves ain't bothering them. Give me a crab and they'll be just doing whatever it is that fishermen do. Obviously, I'm not one of them. But they're used to the storms and the waves. They know what it's like. These hardcore fishermen were terrified. So it must have been some kind of a storm to take a hardcore, deadliest catch fisherman and scare him, have a storm so bad that even that person becomes worried. It's in that storm, in that scenario, when Jesus shows up. And he comes to them in the middle of the storm. All of a sudden, Jesus appears. And, you know, sometimes God, he'll leave you in the storm, but sometimes he'll come to you right in the middle of it as well. It may not be the way that you expected him to enter into that storm in your life. He doesn't work within the framework of our thinking, by the way. He does what he does. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And these disciples, they had to have thought, you know, this is the plan. This is the direction we're going to go. But how many of you know that all the best-intended plans, when a storm shows up, it derails it, right? Kaput. I'm going to go from point A to point B. But in between there, storm arrives. You may have to go from point A to C to X to V, then Y, and then eventually get to B. Did you follow all that? You will get there. You will get. If God says you're going to go, remember he told the disciples, get in the boat, we're going over. All right? I'll see you there. If God tells you to get in the boat and go, you can take it to the bank that you're going to get there. It just might not be the way you expected. It might not be in your timing. You may face some storms that you didn't plan on facing. And so when those storms pop up, the first thing we do, we question our faith. What did I do wrong? What did so-and-so do wrong? You know, does he not like me anymore? And we start to become, and then we get feelings all involved. He says, no, if I told you to go, you're going to go. And it's in the middle of the storm. Sometimes he'll leave you, but then other times he'll come to you in the storm and meet you there. And here's what he will do when you're going through these difficult times. Number three, write this down. Jesus encouraged them in the storm. He encouraged them. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm going through a difficult time, an encouraging word is helpful. But what I want is out of the storm. That's what I want. Get me out of here. And sometimes Jesus will show up and he'll speak a word that doesn't necessarily remove you from the storm or the storm from you. But what he will give you is a word that you can hang on to. That while you're going through whatever it is you're going through, you can know there's no storm that's going to take you away or take you down. He says to him in verse 27, immediately, it says, Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be what? Afraid. Don't be afraid. Why would he say that? Because they were afraid. They were fearful. They were dealing with the storm, and not only a storm that they were afraid of, but now some dude's walking on the water, their direction. And they don't know what to think of this. See, when you're going through a storm in life, let Jesus encourage you in the midst of it. Well, how am I supposed to do that, Pastor? You don't see the waves that are in my life. You don't see the waves that are crashing against me. Well, maybe I don't see all of them, but guess who does? Jesus. He sees all of them. He knows what you're going through. And if you will cling to him and hold on to him, he will see you through. Well, Pastor, I'm afraid to do that. Well, that's why Jesus even told his disciples. He knows the fear is there, but he says, don't be afraid. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. If the Lord is the one that's the author of the storm, the crisis, whatever it is you're going through, you can know this, that he's going to see you through it. You're going to be okay. You know, if you're going through a difficult time and you're starting to question things, know this, Jesus is always watching out. He is a God that never leaves you and he never forsakes you. He'll show up in the middle of the storm. He'll speak some encouragement that maybe you don't want to hear. You just want to get out. But he says, listen, don't be afraid. We've shared with you what fear is before. We use that acronym. There's four lines in your outline there. Write this down, the acronym. It's false evidence appearing real. That's all fear is. It's false evidence that's appearing real. And he says, take courage. Don't be afraid. Jesus says, don't let fear be the thing that dictates your life. Don't let the storms be the issue that determine the outcome for your life. Fear has a way of trying to hold you hostage. You probably remember the name Black Bart. Black Bart, back in the late 1800s, was professional thief whose name struck fear as he terrorized the Wells Fargo stage line. He would go from San Francisco all the way over to New York, and his name, it just became synonymous with danger in the frontier. Between 1875 and 1883, he robbed 29 different stagecoach crews. Amazingly, Bart did it all without ever firing one shot from his gun. And here's why. It's because he had a hood on his face. No victim ever saw his face. He never took a hostage. He was never trailed by a sheriff. Instead, Black Bart used fear to paralyze his victims. And his sinister presence was enough to overwhelm the toughest stagecoach guards that they had. See, that's what he used, fear. Here's what fear will do. Fear will try to paralyze you. It'll get you to just say, I don't know what to do. So much so that even when Jesus speaks, you're so afraid you don't even want to move when he does. Fear will do this, that if the enemy of our soul can't get us to say no to Jesus, if the enemy of our soul can't get us to walk away from Jesus, then the enemy of our soul is going to try to get us as afraid as we can so that we become paralyzed and we don't do anything for Jesus. We don't follow through, listen, or obey. You see, fear's goal is to paralyze you, to distract you from hearing God's best. So if you're going through a storm today and you know fear's trying to creep in, know this. It's false evidence appearing real. If you'll lean into Jesus and say, where are you at in the midst of the storm? He will come to that storm. He will walk on that water and he'll speak that one word, come. And you can be able to walk out of that boat and be able to go where God has called you to go. But you can't let fear hold you back. My daughter, she's 23, 22. She's older now. But when she was little, we had in the basement, our washer and dryer was down there. So we had like a 1-inch little cement slab that would sit up about that high. And she was just tall enough, tiny, 2 years old, maybe three, I'm not even sure. But I was in the other room watching TV. And I hear this little voice, help me, help me. And I could barely hear it, you know. And I was watching TV, so I thought maybe it was the TV. But I heard it again, help me, help me. And so I muted the thing, and then I heard it a little louder, help me, help me. And I go walking into the laundry room, and my daughter was just tall enough to reach the top of the washing machine, but not tall enough to let her feet actually hit the bottom. So she had to make a decision. Do I reach out and grab on, you know, all in, committed, or do I not? And she decided to go all in. But the thing is, she's hanging from the washing machine now. Her feet are dangling like an inch off of the ground. That's it, like an inch. And she's crying out, help me, Daddy. Daddy, please help me. And I walk in and I said, Drea, what are you doing? She just says, help me. I said, Drea, let go. No, I can't do that, Daddy. No, please help me. Help me. I said, Drea, you're an inch from the ground. You let go, I'll guarantee you, the ground is going to support you. Look, it's good, you know, let go. No, Daddy, I can't do that. Now, what could I have done in that moment? Well, I could have done a few things. I could have looked at her and went, you have little faith. Figure it out on your own. Go back and watch TV. Could have done that. Did not do that. Just wanted to clarify that. But I did what I believe any, you know, good and loving father would do, is I said, let go. I can't let go. Let go. I can't let go. Okay, fine. And I stretched out. And I grabbed her and I set her down. I said, Drea, it was an inch. I couldn't do it, Daddy. I was too afraid. Now, before we're quick to poke at a little two-year-old and say, well, you know, of course she was afraid. You know, but why would she be afraid? It was only an inch. Well, how many times have you cried out to Jesus? How many times have I cried out to Jesus? And I said, help me, Jesus. And Jesus said, let go. I can't do that, Jesus. I can't do that. But Jim, he would say to me, you're that close. Let go. I can't do it, Jesus. Now, he could look at me and say, ye've little faith. But he doesn't do that. That's not how he comes across. When you're going through a storm, he says, don't be afraid. Trust me, let go. Jesus, I can't do it. Even when we can't, in those moments when we can't, Jesus is still faithful. God is still faithful. He'll come and he'll grab us, he'll embrace us. Here's the one thing you want to learn about storms. Though he'll leave you in the storm, though he'll come to you in the storm, and though he'll encourage you in the storm, make sure you learn the lesson you need to learn in the midst of that storm. Because if you don't, there's another storm a-coming. Now, the truth is there's always going to be storms. You know what I mean by storms. Difficulties, trials, temptations. But here's the thing. If you don't learn what you need to in this particular storm, in this particular season, it's just going to be same song, different verse. You know what I mean? You can't run from it. Well, why do we have to go through them? Well, in this world, you know, you're going to face tribulations. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So if you'll lean into Jesus, he says, I'll meet you right where you're at. And you'll find this to be true. Number four, write this down. Jesus will stay with you in the storm. He will stay with you. That's what he did with the disciples. One of the greatest things that you will find is that if you will abide in him, you know what he'll do? He'll abide in you. If you will hang out with Jesus, Jesus would love to hang out with you. But for most of us, we're just too darn busy. We got too many things going on until the storm pops up. And even then, God is faithful. Amen? He'll stay with you in the storm. It says, when they saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. Peter began to sink. It says that Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him up. Peter, by the way, before we're too hard on Peter, Peter's the only one that was offering to get out of the boat. He's the only one that was saying, Jesus, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter actually got out of the boat. Most people wouldn't do that. They wouldn't do that. Peter stepped out. But when he walked on the water, it wasn't really the water he was walking on. It was the word of God that he was walking on that led him and that gave him that support. But even when he did start to sink, it says Jesus stretched out and immediately snatched him up. If you're going through a difficult time right now and you don't have everything figured out, you don't have all the answers and you like to have that, know this. There is potential inside of you that you're not even aware of that God will allow to come to the surface. He'll reveal that to you, but you must trust him. In the middle of this storm. Well, I don't know about this job. They got me on this in this department. They got me on this shift. They got me at this place. They got me. Well, whatever it is, whatever the storm is, know this. Jesus is still the Lord of all the storms that you will face. Nothing takes him by surprise. And when you cry out in fear, he's always there for you. He's there for me. And he'll lead us. So the important question is this. If I'm sinking, or if I feel like I'm sinking, what is it I'm focusing on? When you feel like you're sinking, are you focusing on the Savior who's walking on the water, or are you focusing on the waves that are beating against the boat? Well, that's going to make all the difference in the world, whether you survive or not, whether you learn the lesson or not. It's what are you going to give your attention to? And the last thing, I've already said it, but write this down. Jesus, remember always that he is the Lord of the storms. It doesn't mean that he creates them to punish us. It doesn't mean that he's bored so he creates a problem so he can sit and watch how we deal with it. We're just going to deal with these situations, but he will show up in the middle of them and speak life. It says, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. There was a revelation that they had. You see, you never know how much you need a Savior until you're in the middle of a storm needing one. Amen? It's when you're in the storm, you realize, I need somebody to save me. And I don't know what the storm is you're going through, whether it be relational, financial, whether it be a business you're working in. I don't know. Worry, negativity, words that were spoken against you, I'm not sure. But whatever storm it is, if you've been trying to survive the storm on your own, if you've been trying to make it on your own, if you've been trying to be your own savior, you won't succeed. You just simply won't. There's one savior. And he's calling us to lean into him. When you realize that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, it's one thing to know it. It's one thing to have it or hear it preached, but it's another thing to live it out. when he's the author, the finisher, when he's the one that shows up in the middle of all the haziness, the fog, the confusion. He's the Lord of that storm. And you'll find this to be true. There is no storm that you will face that will ever shake God up. There is nothing so big that he's going to tuck tail and run, because he will always have your back. As a matter of fact, that's why he can't walk out. That's why he can walk out in the midst of a storm, because to him, it ain't nothing but a thing. It's a little storm. He can stop it like that. And he did, we find out as we read in the Bible. That's why he says, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. God doesn't always create the storm because he wants to test us. He says, that's life. You're going to experience storms. But if you're not letting God be God in every area of life, then all you're ever going to see is the storms. But if you let him be your Savior, if you let him rescue you in the middle of whatever storm you're going through, then you, like Peter, will be able to walk on water. You'll be able to rise above all the thunderclaps, the pouring rain, because you got a Savior who walks on water. Would you bow your heads with me as we just prepare to close and say, Jesus, you know better than any of us what we're going through, what we're walking through. Jesus, you know the storms that we face in our life. To somebody else, it might not seem like a big deal, but to us, God, it seems it's everything. Maybe you're here today and you just feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. You feel like you're going to go left and your life went right. It didn't take the turn that you expected, but Lord, in the middle of whatever season we're going through, whatever storm that we're facing, we're recalibrating back to you today. And we're asking Jesus that you would come and be our Savior. Lord, if we need to see something in a different way, will you give us your eyes to see it and transform our lives? Lord, would you encourage us in the middle of the storm that we're going through? Lord, we need you to speak life to us, and you're the only one that can do that. So Lord, we open our hearts to receive that. And Jesus, we're asking today that as we go through these storms and these seasons, that you will lead us, you will guide us, but that you'll give us your grace, your favor, and Lord, your mercy. We ask in your name. Amen, church.